more than 2 months, workers have been risking their own safety to keep the country running. From hospital workers to grocery store clerks to delivery drivers. And so to keep their workers from quitting, companies like Amazon, Walmart, Kroger, CVS, and Starbucks are providing their low-wage employees with small, hourly $2 to $3 raises or one-time bonuses. Some companies are calling these pay increases hero pay. It's also known as hazard pay. Now, as many states are reopening, potentially putting some essential workers at an even greater risk, a number of these companies, including Amazon and Kroger, have announced they will be ending hazard pay at the end of the month. Others, like Target, have said they'll also end the practice within the next few months. This is leaving workers in a precarious state. They will still be doing hazardous work. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega, and that's where we start today on The Takeaway. Joining us now are Ben Steverman, a reporter for Bloomberg, and Molly Kinder, a David M. Rubenstein Fellow at the Brookings Institute. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Molly, before COVID-19, who was hazard pay typically reserved for?
So hazard pay has a history of being associated with dangerous duty. So military service, people in the military service receive hazardous duty pay when they're overseas fighting in war. Some federal government employees are entitled to hazard pay when their jobs become dangerous, or in certain very high-risk industries like in mining, hazard pay has existed. This is a whole new ballgame because millions of workers and jobs that we didn't even think of as risky or hazardous at all have suddenly become so because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Do we know what percentage of employees, essential employees, are now getting hazard pay, Molly?
There isn't a great data on this. There was a survey done last month of a little over 250 organizations and companies. And in that survey, they found only about 1 in 4 companies was offering any type of hazard pay. And that's probably an overestimate for the full population, since there's a lot of workers not in that survey that work for local governments, for instance, or for nonprofit hospitals, where we're really not seeing a lot of hazard pay. So at best, it's about 1 in 4. And the workers that have received hazard pay from employers tend to be in a small number of industries that are booming during the pandemic. So think of grocery chains, big box retailers, warehousing like Amazon, and pharmacies. Those typically are the workers that have seen some modest pay increases, but millions of others in hospitals, home health aides, mail carriers, delivery drivers, a lot of fast food workers, for instance, they haven't seen any pay increase at all.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Ben, how have the national brands that are giving their employees hazard pay been doing financially during the pandemic? Has hazard pay actually cost them a lot?
It's cost them some, and they've also spent a lot on cleaning workplaces, cleaning stores, putting up plexiglass barriers, all sorts of things like that that they say have eaten up profits. So Amazon said it was going to announce a big profit in the last quarter, but actually said all of that was eaten up by extra costs related to COVID. But at the end of the day, we're really only talking about a $2 an hour increase for a lot of these workers. So I'm not sure that the actual cost of the hazard pay itself is really making up that much of a share of that.
Ben, you mentioned Amazon. And during this economic crisis, we happen to find out that by 2026, Jeff Bezos, Amazon's CEO, will become the world's first trillionaire. That's trillion with a TR. Why are many companies announcing the end of hazard pay when there is still significant risk to their employees? Is it just purely about profit?
Well, I think profit is definitely part of it. They've made clear from the beginning that they wanted these to be temporary pay bumps. That's why a lot of companies didn't do a hazard pay that was an hourly rate. They just said, hey, here's a one-time bonus. And then as the pandemic went on and got even worse, they extend, you know, some of them re-upped that and said, okay, we're going to give you another bonus, but we don't mm-hmm. want you to have the expectation that we're going to continue to pay you at a higher rate, because I think a lot of companies are looking forward to the end of the year and they're seeing the highest jobless rate since the Great Depression. And this actually will be an opportunity for companies long term to actually either cut labor costs or stop an increase in labor costs that has been happening over the last few years with the strong economy and minimum wage laws have been increasing, and a lot of their labor costs have, up until this point, been going up quite a bit.
Huh. You know, in addition to that, Ben, companies like Kroger and Target, they, from what I understand, they were going to cut hazard pay, and then they announced changes and extensions that we're going to cut it, you know, later on. Were they getting pressure to continue hazard pay for longer than they had initially anticipated?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the pressure was coming from both their employees, who obviously didn't want to get paid less, but also customers who were, you know, so many Americans are stuck at home and they're going out. The only time they're going out is to the grocery store. And they want to make they want to feel like when they go into that store that the people working there are being taken care of. And so it's a public relations effort by these companies to make their customers feel better.
Molly, you've talked to many essential employees during this time. What are you hearing from them about hazard pay and whether it's helping them or not?
Yeah, so I've interviewed about 24 essential workers over the last 2 months. So they range from grocery clerks who are receiving hazard pay to a lot of lower paid hospital and health workers, you know, and cooks in nursing homes, housekeepers in hospitals, home health aides who've seen no pay increases at all. And the headline is, I've yet to talk to an essential worker who does not want hazard pay. It's something I've heard across the board from everyone, that they feel that at this time, they're not only putting their lives at risk, but they're really worried about the family members they live in. So just going to their job has become a matter of life and death. And that's not what they feel they signed up for. And it's really important to point out that a lot of these workers, millions of these essential workers, do not earn a living wage. So it was there's already an argument that the grocery clerk at Kroger who makes $10 an hour, or the home health aides that are keeping the most vulnerable people in our society safe during this pandemic, they're making $9, $10, $11 an hour, and suddenly their lives are at risk. And so there was a very, very strong feeling that workers want to see hazard pay. Among some of the workers I interviewed in the grocery sector who are getting the small bonuses or the $2 an hour pay increase, they did appreciate that that was happening, but many felt even that was not enough. Because even when you start off at $10 or $11 an hour, an additional $2 an hour still doesn't get you to a living wage that can sustain a family. So there was a frustration even with the small token hazard pay that was offered. And now that it's being pulled away, the workers I've interviewed are terribly frustrated. They said, you called me a hero and suddenly we're disposable. The hazard hasn't ended. We're still having to wear masks. Grocery store workers are still dying. So why are these increases going away?
And Molly, also essential workers are striking about not getting hazard pay, right?
That's correct. I mean, it's been extraordinary the last 2 months, the number of wildcat strikes or, you know, petitions on change.org and unrest we're seeing with workers. And it's really a mix of a fear for their safety, so a call for better access to this life-saving PPE, but also protests around pay. So everyone from Instacart drivers, groups of them striking, or Amazon workers. We're seeing some wildcat strikes in New Orleans with sanitation workers who don't feel they're being kept safe, and they feel their low wages are even breaking the law now, but don't go nearly far enough given the hazard. And I think this level of unrest is a sign of how frustrated workers are at this moment.
Yeah. Ben, do you know of any executives that have taken pay cuts or are refusing bonuses in order to help extend hazard pay to their employees?
Yeah, a good number have taken small changes to their salaries. Actually, not so small. Say 3 months of salary they basically foregone in one case. But the thing to remember about that is that CEO salaries are only about 10% of their total compensation when you add in bonuses and stock options and all sorts of things like that. So really, at the end of the day, these people, you know, the CEOs maybe are giving up maybe $300,000 or $400,000, but at the end of a few years, they're going to be making $11 million or $12 million or $20 million. So this is a sort of a drop in the bucket and mostly a symbolic move.
Molly, I listening to that, I can't help but think about how this conversation over hazard pay really underlines like the larger inequities in our system of work in this country, right?
I mean, absolutely. I think this pandemic has not created inequality, but exposed it in such vivid terms. There are you know, the folks who are most likely to be able to be safely working from home are those who already have the most. So many of the workers on the front line who are keeping the country going for the rest of us earn very low wages, and have, some of them have the least access to protective equipment is what I'm finding, limited access to paid sick leave. So if they get sick, they can't even afford necessarily to stay home. And it's real, and also limited ability at work to have any voice to say, I'm afraid for my life and I want to see changes. So I think this is a moment where we really need to take a step back as a country and say, these workers are essential. They always have been. We need them now. And yet what they have in terms of safety, in terms of compensation, in terms of benefits, and even in terms of respect, which is a key theme that I'm hearing mm-hmm. from workers, is just really inadequate. And hazard pay is an example of this. What do companies owe their workers? What can the federal government do to step in to make sure that workers who are risking their lives for the rest of us earn a decent living?
Ben, are there any proposals kicking around Congress to help protect hazard pay for essential employees?
Yeah, so the House Democrats passed a bill just last week, I think, that included a $200 billion Heroes Fund that basically would subsidize hazard pay for essential workers through the end of the year. And it wouldn't be $2 an hour. It'd be actually like $13 an hour. Extra in pay for those frontline workers. The prospects of that in the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans, they're not great. There have mm-hmm. been some Republican proposals. Mitt Romney put forward one, but there seems to be a lot of new concern about the deficit on the Republican side and extra spending at this time.
Yeah, we'll see how things might change given the election and how long it might change for Congress to start to pass some proposals to protect workers. Ben Steverman is a reporter for Bloomberg, and Molly Kinder is a David M. Rubenstein Fellow at the Brookings Institute. Thank you both for joining me again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
And we've asked Amazon, Walmart, Kroger, CVS, Starbucks, and Target about their hazard pay policies. As we hear from them, we'll post their replies at thetakeaway.org. And have you been receiving hazard pay? Tell us if it has made a difference to you in this moment. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.